This is The Naked Scientist with Kat Arney and me, Diana O'Carroll. Now, we've looked back at medicine through history, but we can also use modern medicine to try to diagnose historical people's illnesses. That's exactly what happened when Peter Watson, an ophthalmologist, noticed that portraits of Galileo showed him with one eye pushed outwards and downwards. We know that Galileo suffered from a series of unknown eye complaints and eventually lost his sight, but modern evidence may shed light on what these conditions were.
Well, I was writing a book on scleral disease, and I read a paper which suggested that Galileo might have had scleritis. So I looked at the paper. I wasn't totally convinced, but I realised there was a portrait of Galileo in the Fitzwilliam Museum, and the archivist showed me the picture. And when I looked at it, it was quite clear that he didn't have scleral inflammation, but he did have a very unusual condition, which is known as mucocele of the frontal sinus. This is a condition which caused by a congenital anomaly of the frontal sinus, so you don't actually drain the mucus from your frontal sinus, and it accumulates. And this pushes the eyeball downwards and outwards, and in the portrait he has to lift his eyebrow right to keep his eye open, and this eye is quite obviously displaced from the other one.
Looking at the portrait, it looks like he's raising his eyebrow at us quite suggestively. How do we know it's an accurate portrait?
The portrait was done in 1624 by a person called Leone. He and his father gave a lot of portraits which are alla macchia, which means as it is, or to show the personality, and they were well known for doing just exactly that. So this is almost certainly correct. And the original sketches are also extant, one in the Louvre, which show exactly the same situation as we have here. What needed to be done next was to find out whether this anomaly was present before these portraits were taken, which was when he was 64. Indeed, the portraits prior to that do show that particular anomaly.
Could this picture be indicative of any eye conditions other than a mucocele or a cyst in the frontal sinus?
You accept it, it's totally characteristic. There really isn't another condition that looks like it. But if you do look at a portrait of him when he was 34, shows that he does indeed have an anomaly of the inner part of his right eyelid and the eyebrow, so that I think it was part of a congenital anomaly.
And as we look through the portraits through the years, you can actually see it sort of getting worse until that one when he was 64. Some people have argued that perhaps he spent far too much time looking through a telescope at the sun. Why do you think this wasn't the case?
Well, if he'd had solar retinopathy, he would have been centrally blind. The sun's rays would burn the macula, so he would not have been able to see centrally. And this clearly was not the case. When he looked at the sun, he used the reflective technique for doing so. And, of course, he described first person to describe sunspots. So these were all done by shadow drawings, which are extraordinarily accurate.
How could a mucocele affect Galileo's sight?
Well, none of the conditions we've talked about at the moment have any relation to blindness, which he went, and he went totally blind. The story is quite interesting in that he was brought up mostly by his father, but he was sent to a monastery called Villambrosa, and when he was there, he developed an extremely severe ophthalmia, for which he was actually removed from the monastery. He then recovered from that and was perfectly all right until he was in his mid-30s. He then had a lunch with a friend of his when he was working in Padua. The three of them went down into a cool room in the middle of the summer to have a siesta. And this room was cooled by a waterfall. And when they all woke up, they were all extremely ill. One man died more or less straight away. Another one died 3 weeks later, totally deaf. Galileo was deaf in one ear for a little while, but actually recovered. And thereafter, he complained of extreme pain in his joints, bloody discharge, and generally unwell. And he used to have bouts of this, which were so severe that he was stuck in bed for a very long time. In fact, on one occasion, when there were three comets to look at, he couldn't even get out of bed to look at them, but they had to be described to him. So he really must have been extremely ill. Well, all of this is enough to set up, if you have an inflammation in the eye as a result of immunological disease, then this would certainly do it. And one of these, of course, is ulcerative colitis or Reiter's disease or Crohn's disease, all of which have specific HLA types.
So it may have been that in addition to the swelling above his eye, his own immune system was eventually responsible for his blindness. Are there any more clues?
Well, he then described a condition where he saw halos around the lights, and this was really as an aside in a book on optics, where he described this halo when he looked at a candle, and it expanded and contracted according to the condition of his eye. And he recognised that this was indeed due to the swelling of the front of his eye, his cornea. And this, of course, is a glaucomatous halo. But if you look carefully at the history thereafter, you find that right to the very end of his life, even when one eye was extremely bad, he was still able to observe through the telescope. And in fact, he described a thing called the libations of the moon, where the moon moves slightly in one way and another, within the last few months of his sight. Clearly he could see accurately right down the middle of his vision, even though he had no peripheral vision. So this is much more like an angle closure glaucoma. And so we now have a problem. We have a possibility of him having a uveitic glaucoma or a primary glaucoma, to say just simply due to a disease of his eye. And the only way we're really going to find this out is to find out whether he has a specific HLA types, which could have been part of his seronegative disease.
The glaucoma could have resulted from an autoimmune inflammatory disease, or it could have come from an infection. And the HLA, or the human leukocyte antigen region, is a stack of genes that code for immune responses. So if you can find that, you'll know why Galileo lost his sight.
That's what we'd like to do. I'm not quite totally sure exactly the situation at the present time, but as I understand it, the Vatican has given permission for his body to be examined in the tomb in Santa Croce. And Galileo himself lost two pieces of bone already, one of which is in the museum in Florence and the other one in the museum in Padua. And neither of these show any arthritic changes which might be due to inflammatory disease. So this is yet another feature that makes me feel that it is actually an angle closure glaucoma and not a secondary glaucoma. But DNA taken from the body would enable us to find that out.
So we'll keep an eye out for the details locked away in Galileo's genes. That was Peter Watson, who's on the International Council of Ophthalmology. And that's all we have time for this week, so many thanks to Vivian Nutton and Tilly Tansey for joining us, to Tom Birch, Richard Barnett, Chris Howe and Peter Watson for sharing their stories with us. Thanks also go to our production team, that's Diana O'Carroll, Mira Senthilingam, Tom Simpkins, who's been doing the desk tonight, and Dave Ansell. And finally, thanks to all of you at home for listening. Next week we're going to have a special show from the South African Sci Fest, where they've all been off at the moment, discovering the events going on there and getting an exclusive behind the science peek at our explosive Chris Packett fireworks show. As usual, if you've got any questions for us, then do get in touch, chris@thenakedscientist.com. If you'd like to hear the show again or catch up with old shows you've missed, you can download the Naked Scientist podcast for free from www.thenakedscientist.com/podcasts. So have a great week and goodbye.
The Naked Scientist podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientist.com.